Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. You know, with what seems like breaking news every single night, and with all of it shouting, whoa, 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 and then trying to blame it all on the Christian right, is it any wonder that the whoa, whoa, whoa is an apt metaphor that the Bible says will be declared by the angel in the book of Revelation as everything is wrapping up? Praise God. I mean, that's what I say about all this. Praise God. But to help us put it all in that we see on the nightly news in perspective, our good friend Tom Donnan is back again today. Every time Tom comes back on the program, he brings insightful, meaningful, and relevant information that we see happening on the evening news, but he puts a biblical perspective on it. So help me welcome back to the program our good friend Tom Donnan. Tom, thank you for coming back on the show today.
Pastor Bob, what an exciting time we're living in. So thank you for having me today.
Amen. Now, as we get ready to dive into our subject matter today, this first topic that I want to discuss, I got something that I want to share with you and our listening audience. So give me just a second here. We're going to set this up. And I want you to listen to this as we lay the groundwork for topic number one.
I cannot.
Okay, let me stop this then. Stop to share. That did not work. I'll probably edit that part out. Let me put it over here on the other computer, and I'll just turn up the volume. I thought if I play audio on that share screen, it would work. So I'll be editing this part out. Normally, I don't edit things out, but for that, I will, because it didn't work right. But let's try it again, all right? So, as we get ready to start, I want you to listen to this, because this will introduce our first topic.
That's funny.
Amen. You know what topic we're talking about.
Well, it brings back the subject of Saturday morning cartoons, and that was one of the favorites.
Exactly. Mine too. It was the Jets. For those that are not, you know, ancient relics like Tom and I are, that is the Jetsons TV series introduction from, as he says, Saturday morning cartoons when we were like 8, 9 years old, growing back up in the early 60s. And that is because Tom is going to introduce the first topic of discussion, which is our own personal Jetson Mobile.
Well, isn't that something that we are in a day and age that we can have our own Jetson Mobile?
That's right.
That's like awesome. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I had to look up the specs, you know, and it'll hold up to 220 pounds. And it has a flying time at that weight for about 15 minutes. And if it's a lighter weight, it'll go longer. And you can treat it like, you know, it's not like an ATV. Of course, they go longer, but this is freedom for flying. So it's like absolutely amazing.
And it's so like your own little personal helicopter, but think of a drone with all those blades on the four corners and stuff. That's what it looked like, was your own, a man-sized drone.
Yeah. What was it? Maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, we had this guy that had a drone, platform? And he was going down New York City on his drone platform. Yeah. Now we have a drone capsule that is like a little Jetson car that goes over there. Plus, if you remember, maybe 6 months or so ago, we did an article about the guy who went across the English Channel with a jetpack.
Yeah, right? Amen. Yeah. That's right. Amen. I forgot about that one.
And they got a new type of vehicle that doesn't have a blade, so to speak, it's some kind of cylindrical cage that actually does pick it up like the Jetsons, but in a different way. And so I'm thinking all these advancements. I'm thinking, oh, this is fun stuff. Oh, and now is the money. I need the money.
Yeah, exactly. It's like 90 grand or something. To, you know. But what they did not say is if you're going to need your there's a private pilot. There's a pilot's license that is for like experimental aircraft and your own light aircraft, things like that, because you're flying in airspace managed by the government. They're probably going to have a requirement for that. But I was waiting for it to see it fold up and you could drive it off, but he didn't do it. That's why.
No, I didn't see that. Yeah. I didn't see that either. No, but boy, that would be fun to do. You know, who knows? Maybe someday they'll have rentals where you could rent that for 15 minutes, you know, and oh, I'd be up for that.
Oh, yeah. And you know, but you notice in the video, they were way out in the desert. There is nothing around. At least the guy that was in New York City was flying down New York City. I mean, that would be more realistic, you know, to avoid traffic. You got to get to work, you know. I could, and when you land on your company's roof, you plug it in and charge it up for the trip. But what about bad weather? What about, you know, a storm? What's the wind cutoff? You know, like on a private one, because I have my private pilot's license, on a small Cessna, if it's a 25-mile-an-hour crosswind, you better not try and take off and land because it'll blow you around like a piece of paper, you know? So
yeah,
I wonder what they didn't go into any of that. You're just going to spend 90 grand and have this thing in your garage and think, I got my own personal Jetson mobile, you know?
So, yeah. Yeah. That would be something to consider. You don't want to have it be a fair weather type of drone where you need it just under, it's like weather, not weather balloons. The big giant balloons, you know, they can't even fill them up if it's over like 5 miles per hour of wind.
Yeah.
So they have to have a calm day.
And I noticed on that video that he maintained his altitude like 45, 47 feet the whole time. That's one of the shots from the cockpit had his little altimeter there. And it wasn't like he's going up to, you know, 2,000 feet or anything. So I don't think those little prop blades would work too well carrying them.
I think I'd get nervous if it was up that far, any higher than maybe 50, 60 feet.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I think we have a ways to go though, until we achieve warp speed, you know,
although, that's for sure.
Although we are doing almost that with the Hadron Collider, leading right into the next topic.
Whoa. That was a good one. That was smooth.
We're getting used to this. We play off each other well.
Yeah. Well, I will say that Hadron Collider, I was really stunned when they say that they basically have gotten these particles as fast as just below the speed of light. And they used the moon as an illustration, saying that a beam of light would get there, what, like 40 meters sooner collider?
4 meters.
4 meters.
4 meters than the collider's part. Yeah. 4 meters faster. You know.
So that's really not that much of a difference at all.
Yeah, exactly. I think he said, what was it, 99.99999% or something
like
that, speed of light.
Yeah, but the thing is that this is, I think I saw or heard that this is the biggest machine that there is on Earth. This thing.
It's and like it 25, 26 miles in diameter or something, or whatever it was.
The technology that is involved in that.
Yeah.
It's absolutely all underground. Amazing.
That whole tube system is all underground.
You know? It's amazing. You know, we talked about the gravitational wave device that was out in Arizona, I think, or maybe New Mexico. We thought that was pretty big, but this thing dwarfs that for sure.
Yeah, amen, amen. And, you know, it's just kind of neat that I remember when they were first building it, a lot of talk was about, you know, this isn't good because they don't know, they can't control it. You know, this could cause, as soon as those protons hit, it could cause a nuclear explosion like this world has never seen before, you know, all this stuff. But, you know, that hasn't come to fruition yet.
No, not yet. Yeah, I saw some kind of information about concerns over black holes. And of course, that hasn't happened yet.
Yep.
No.
Amen. Amen. And you know, that everything that man tries to do, you notice that they can't quite get where they want to go. There's always reaching for something else. You know, they always want to get to the next level, the next level. Well, God says you come up to this level anytime you want. No effort involved, you know?
Yeah. Well, there was some print about looking for the God particle. No. And of course, from our perspective, we're talking about the Bible and how God predicts or depicts the making of the world, you know, in 7 days. There, the technicians talk about the beginning of the Big Bang. No, that's their starting point. Of course, I don't agree with any of that stuff there. But yet, how they're trying to evolve into new information and new learning is very, very fascinating. And I can't imagine what this thing costs to have developed.
Yeah. I don't know for sure because I'm only going by what I've read or heard. But, like, to do an experiment on this Hadron Collider, it's like booked 2 or 3 years in advance right now, you know?
Oh.
And it costs you, you know, multi-millions, tens of millions of dollars to come over there and do your one day of research for this thing, you know? Because it takes you, you know, first you got to get yourself on a waiting list. You got to tell them what it is you want to do and how you plan on doing it and all this stuff. And they have to approve it. And like I said, it might be booked 3 years now in advance. And, you know, now you have to get all your prep ready. So when you come in, you know, it might take you 2 months to set everything up for that one, you know, 10-minute test type thing. You know,
I mean, it's amazing.
It's not a like, oh, yeah, let's go over and, hey, watch this. You know, it's nothing like that.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, putting a man on the moon and we haven't even launched the Mercury space capsule yet.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to go through all those preps just to get to Apollo 11. So it's an interesting time. And then, you know, we also have, you know, the biggest hold up with a lot of this technical research and things like that is involving, you know, naturally the pandemic shutdown, because that put a lot of things out of business that, you know, or at least on hold for that year, 18 months or whatever it is. And, you know, now with the government, you know, stepping in and saying, just trust us. We know what's best for you, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and all these mandates and, you know, you will get the vaccination. You know, they want to tell us what to do, what to put in our body. But yet at the same time, they're like, it's a woman's choice what she wants to do with her body. You can't say anything, you know, you can't make her get an abortion. Well, no. Well, she wants to get an abortion. Well, that isn't up to the baby, you know, the baby doesn't have no say so in this. So why don't you, all these government mandates are forcing that, you know, kids have to wear masks in school, but yet there's no credible evidence that masks, kids wearing masks in schools does anything. But did you see though, that not only are some people now being told, if you don't get the shot, you're losing your job. You got some people willingly leaving their jobs.
That's pretty amazing.
I mean, that's, you know, that's a statement. That's faith right there. You know, hey, I quit. You know, you're 2 years away from retirement and you're going to quit your job because of principle. Man, how many Christians would raise their hand and say, yeah, that's me? Probably not many.
Well, that's challenging.
You know, probably not many would say, you know, if you don't renounce your Christianity, you lose your job, you lose your pension, you lose everything.
Well, that could be the next step, the way things are going.
Yeah.
Right. So what you're bringing up this thing about making a choice, you know, one of the things that is becoming apparent to me is that a lot of the things that are going on, you could say, well, we didn't see that coming, did we?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? All right. So you have this police officer that decided that he was going to retire rather than taking the vaccination. Now, he had a tearful recording on his radio, because he decided that he didn't want to do the vaccination. Now, some people are concerned about what's in the vaccine and don't want to do it because of that. Then there's the religious exemption in that aspect. And now there's a whole lot of people that are just saying, hey, you tell me I got to take it. I'm not doing it because I don't have any choice. And it gets back to that thing about your statement before. And then that is the hypocrisy that is becoming so blatantly aware of. And that is that they will say whatever they need to say in order to move their agenda forward and say, my body, my choice. But when it doesn't fit their agenda, then it doesn't carry the same weight when the other people oppose.
That's
so, man, I pray a lot. I was up really early this morning praying, And the thing is that we do need to see God raise up a standard of righteousness and justice, because the spread is just so great, you know, that people are losing their jobs and their livelihood, but they don't want the potential consequences of what go with the shot, whether there might be an illness, or they are seeing that if they do not oppose it now, well, what's going to be next? Because there's going to be something next.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's always something they're trying to do. And, you know, I mean, like I just referenced a minute ago about, you know, making, you know, 5 and 6 year old kids wear these masks in school, you know. And government officials and others keep talking about studies have proven that kids wearing masks in class helps prevent the spread of COVID. But that's not true. That's only an opinion, because there have been no true studies conducted to prove it one way or another. In order to have a true study, I went to Johns Hopkins University as a huge research. Everything there is about research. You know, you got something to say, do the research and tell us about it, right? Well, in order to have a true study, you need to have a control group. And that's what the pharmaceutical companies did with their vaccines before they could roll them out. They had to have a control group. You know, a control group does not get the vaccine. Then you have a control group that does. Then you measure the results between the two. That's not been done on any level with kids in the classrooms. I mean, you have some schools that did not require masks, and now they have X number of positive cases. You have others that did require a mask, and they have Y number of positive cases. But no study where they were conducted in the same school with control groups, you know, attending the same, you know, functions and all that stuff, none. You know, I mean, that these are just opinions that they're throwing out there. You know, and then I heard one, we may even talk about way back when, we've been doing a lot of these this past couple of years, but remember they talked about wearing a mask is like trying to stop mosquitoes from coming in your yard with a chain link fence, right?
Yeah.
And that's the effect of what your mask is doing for the virus, you know, but, let's shift gears a little bit, because, you know, we talked about, you know, the large number of ships off California coast, you know, unable to come into port and offload their cargo because of the virus, you know, the shutdowns and all that. And have you seen the recent news that even if they get offloaded, now there's not enough trucks to deliver the cargo to the intended recipient stores? Many of these cargo containers are being stored in neighborhoods now. Man, imagine living, you know, 2-3 miles down the road, and you're, you know, all along the road is these stacks of cargo containers because there's no room for them in the port now. And this is crazy, you know. It's absolutely nuts.
Well, these neighbors were up in arms because they couldn't get out of their driveways. No, and this street happened to be wide enough to where there could be a center lane. So they just started parking these trailers right down the middle of the street. And then I saw another video where they were saying, well, listen, you guys are only stacking them up too high in these remote areas that you are now using. He said, but you could really help out if you did it like 5 and 6 high, you know, to get more containers there. So they're running out of room because the ships don't want to take containers back empty. You know, mm-hmm. We are not producing any products, another unforeseen thing from the pandemic. And so now they're scrambling to try to figure out how this is going to work. And addition to that, now they're having trucking problems. That was another one that I listened to just before we started the recording. And there was this guy that was in the trucking industry. This was off of Economic Ninja. He was talking to this gentleman, and he said, normally when a truck broke down, and with the people that he works with, there may be 15 trucks ahead of him to be repaired. He said, now there's 100 trucks in front of him because there's no parts, there's no people, qualified technicians, there's no people to do the work. Mm-hmm. And so between those two, now you have this huge backlog, and that's affecting moving goods and containers and all that type of thing. Yep. That's another thing that you couldn't see coming down the road.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, the shipping containers off the ports, you know, the boats not being able to come in, you know, I mean, the government is now saying, well, we're going to put the military or the transportation specialist from the military there to help get all these things offloaded. And now there's nowhere to put them. You know, I mean, that's just amazing. And then they say, well, we'll have the military drive the trucks. The military are not commercial truck drivers.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, I was licensed to drive a truck, right? That does not make me qualified to haul, you know, a 65-foot container truck.
You know? Well, you saw that one video, right?
Which one?
Where one of the trucks lost control of the container and it fell on a car in the side street.
Yep.
Amen. It was a parked car. Oh, it wasn't going to be used for much after this container fell on it.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, it's just crazy. You know, this whole COVID thing, I believe that the government's using it just to establish greater control over the populace. Because remember back when this thing first started, the slogan was slow the spread for 15 days. That's all, you know, we're shutting everything down for 2 weeks, 15 days. Then it went to 30 days. Then it went to 90 days. And suddenly we're no longer interested in slowing the spread. It's all about control. You know, we were talking about building up the herd immunity. You know, people that had the virus and recovered, they wanted their blood so they'd get samples so they'd figure out what it was that made them immune now and all this stuff. But not now. The left no longer wants to discuss building up a natural immunity. You know, I mean, it's all about, you know, we don't want a herd immunity, want everybody to get the vaccine so everybody has the vaccine immunity, you know, the mandates again that we were talking about.
Yes. Now that's very controversial, as you could tell. No, and the thing is that they are finding out that the vaccine, they say, may have 6 months worth of immunity to it, where the natural immunity runs pretty much a year. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they come out with the extra shots, you know, the 3, 4, and 5, you know, who knows how many shots it's going to be.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this episode with Tom Donnan, but praise God, this episode, this conversation with Tom was so intense and so intriguing, we are actually going to be able to make 3 episodes out of this interview. And we're talking about a wide range of topics that is concerning almost every single American and every single believer today. You know, today we're talking about the supply chain and the problems at the ports and all that. And I don't want to just cut that off in mid-stride. So we're going to continue with that conversation tomorrow as we go into part 2, as well as talking about the increase of energy costs and everything that is going on in America right now concerning that. I mean, it's going to be a hard winter for Americans everywhere. But we have good news concerning all this. And that is Jesus is still on the throne. Praise God. Nothing that the devil can throw at us can defeat us. In every single instance, our faith will overcome. Praise God. Be sure to come back for the next episode as we continue this conversation with Tom Don. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.